gonna be a diamond someday. I'm gonna grow and glow till I'm so bleak here perfect. Gonna put a smile on everybody's face. Well, I'm gonna kneel and pray every day, lest I should become vain along that way. Well, I'm just an old chunk of coal now, love, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. Well, I'm just an old chunk of coal now, love, I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
And I am gonna be a diamond someday.
Sister Mary, she wears a golden chain. Sister Mary, she wears a golden chain. Sister Mary wears a golden chain on every link. It's Jesus' name. There's no hiding place down here. Well, there's no hiding place down here. There's no hiding place down here. Two rocks and hide my face. Rocks right out, no hiding place. There's no hiding place down here. Now the devil, he wears a hypocrite shoe. Now the devil, he wears a hypocrite shoe. Now the devil wears a hypocrite shoe. If you don't watch out, he'll put it on you. There's no hiding place down here. Oh, there's no hiding place down here. There's no hiding place down here. Well, run to the rocks and hide my face. The rocks right out, no hiding place. There's no hiding place down here. Bill. Satan one more round. There's no hiding place down here. Oh, there's no hiding place down here. There's no hiding place down here. Well, run to the rocks and hide my face. The rocks right out, no hiding place. There's no hiding place down here.
Sing this verse before Don starts talking. I've never done it in G, but here we go. Hallelujah.
I'm ready. Hallelujah.
I can hear the voices singing soft and low.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Soft and low. I'm ready. Hallelujah.
Howdy, y'all.
Howdy.
Welcome to Sauk River Cowboy Church. Do we have any visitors? No visitors? How about birthdays? Got any birthdays? Huh? All right. Goose. How about Rhonda's got one. Happy birthday.
Oh, Dad, back here.
Happy birthday. Come on, get Charles, though. We won't embarrass you too bad.
Charles?
Charles has got one coming up.
Charles, right there.
But
the governor.
He's older than dirt, you know. How about anniversaries? Day anniversaries? Hoop, Tommy, Brenda, Kelly, anniversary? Okay, sing to them.
Happy birthday to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy birthday and anniversary. Happy birthday and anniversary to you.
And the brothers will be meeting this Sunday. Also in the bluegrass band that they get, the fine bluegrass band that they get together on Saturdays, will be meeting over at the stables, not in the barn as it was advertised. Okay, Kelly, you have to go first, and then Judy.
I'm glad I get to go before Judy, because I can't go beyond her. Hello, everybody. I just wanted to talk to you about the church directory that we've got coming up. There are two dates for the Thursday night. One is in September, one is in October. They're in the newsletter. If you can't make it either one of those nights, just give me a call. My number's in there, as well as my email address. We will find a way to get you in the directory. Our goal is to get everybody that wants to be in the directory in the directory. We would love to have pictures so that people can know who they're talking about, when they're praying for them, and when they need help. It's really beneficial for Scotty and Ty especially. So please, if you can, come out, join us, and be a part of this wonderful, wonderful church. If you have any questions, please call me. Thanks.
Judy, come on up.
To drop off pies, desserts, New York cheesecake, Jackie Gilkey's blackberry cobbler. Check or cash only. We do not have the capability of taking debit cards. You will do just like any other auction. You will get numbers. You will bid. You will raise them high and often. And if you do not raise them high, then we may bid for you. So make sure you raise them high. We need to help this family. It's neighbors helping neighbors. They are in a hard place at a hard time, and we all need to come together, just like this church always does, to help out the people that help each other. Thank you all.
Thank you. You all may not know it, but Ron Jones is taking up preaching, and he'll be preaching at the New Hope Baptist Church at Ozark. I understand in conflicts with our 10 o'clock service but some Sunday we just ought to just heck with ours and go visit his.
Absolutely. Wear your cowboy hats.
That's right. Bring my horse right
We ain't
here.
Playing. Come on.
Okay, now more on a serious part. Saul was riding down the road, and his mule was talking to him, and he said, "What's going on?" Well, Saul is a bad person in the Bible to begin with. He was crucifying Christians, and he was feeding them to the lions, and just really a bad person. And the Lord spoke to him, and he says, "Well, who's talking to me?" And he says, "Well, you know who I am, Saul." He says, "I need you to be one of my disciples." "I don't know what you're talking about." And he blinded him right there. And for 3 days, Saul was blind. And he went into the city, and he talked to Ananias, was talking to God, and God said, "I want you to go heal Saul." And Ananias says, "I ain't going over there. That guy's killing Christians and stuff." Anyway, he talked him into it, because usually if you argue with the Lord, you don't win. So he went over and he healed Saul, and Saul immediately after seeing went out and was baptized. That gets me to my point. Sunday we will be baptizing people out of Charles Turk's farm. We usually have anywhere from 30 to 50 people, and if you've never been there, I strongly encourage you to go and be there. But you need to accept the Lord as your as Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you think you're too bad or you just can't do that, remember Saul. He killed a lot of people. He was a pretty bad dude. I imagine he's better than most people. Anyway, the Lord can forgive you. He can change your life. Baptism is to show people that you've accepted the Lord as your Savior. You're submerged in water. Your sins are washed away. And you're raised with a new person. In Jesus' name. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Oh, Lord, we come to you and again, thank you for your blessings that you bestowed on this old church. We try to do our best for you, but sometimes we fail. But we know you'll forgive us of our sins and pick us up, dust us off, and send us on down your road. Oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's turn to page number 38, just over in the glory land.
The home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land.
Harold Cook on the guitar, give me a big hand.
I am on my way to those mansions fair, just over in the glory land. There to sing God's praise and his glory share, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land.
Yoke
the joyful thought that my Lord I'll see, just over in the glory land. and with kindred say there forever be, just over in the glory land.
Everybody sing loud!
Over in the glory land, I'll join happy angel band.
I can't hear you.
Over in the glory
louder.
Land.
Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land.
Bill Lammers on a banjo.
With the blood washed throne, I will shout and sing. Just over in the glory land. Clap hosannas to Christ the Lord and King. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land.
Thank you very much. There's three people I could sit and listen to all day. George Strait, B.J. Thomas, and that man right down there, Bob Lovett.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey. Setting the bar kind of high there, aren't you?
Pressure's on, buddy.
Well, I'm going to do one for you now. I just kind of thought of this on the way here. Hadn't done it in years, but it's a great old tune. Kind of reminds me of a church I grew up going to when I was a kid. My grandparents went to a little white church out on 64 Highway, and I think there was about 13 of us that showed up there every Sunday, and I'm sure a lot of you probably did the same thing when you were growing up, or maybe just recently. Still a lot of them around, but I really enjoyed that old church. It was really non-denominational, but my Uncle Otis, he was the preacher, and he just sat in a pew in front of us and turned around and talked to us, and kind of gave his opinion, then asked for ours, you know, and it's one of those kind of churches. But, learned a lot going there, and it kind of reminds me of this song. It's called "The Little White Church in the Valley." There's a little white church in the valley that stands in my memory each day. And I can hear the bells now ringing, though I am many miles away. And many times a church on Sunday morning, the whole countryside would gather there. They would all kneel down at the altar as they lifted up their voice in prayer. Oh, that church in the valley, oh, that little white church is the place that I love so well. Now I'm sad and lonely, yes, I'm sad and lonely for that little white church in the dale. Church in the valley. Oh, that little white church is the place I love so well. Now I'm sad and lonely, yes, I'm sad and lonely. Oh, that little white church in the day.
Goodness, they sounded good, y'all. Curtis and gang, we appreciate y'all. Every bluegrass band has to have a name. I think we should rename y'all and call you Curtis and the Stockyard, or Curtis and the 830 Stockyard Ramblers. You have to have ramble in a bluegrass name, too. Curtis and the 830 Stockyard Ramblers. There you go. All right, we've got some prayer requests here. I want to share this with y'all, and then we're going to say a prayer, and then we're going to let Scotty come up here and preach. And if y'all remember Andrew speaking, he said he'd been in some churches down south, and when he'd get to preaching good, they'd say, "Bake that cake." You all remember that? So tonight, when Pastor Scotty's preaching good, y'all yell out, "Bake that cake!" All right. All right, let's get to these prayer requests. Let's lift up Wayne Carter. He had a heart attack, I believe, today, and he's in the hospital right now. So we need to lift up Wayne and Lamanda and all the kids. They attend the Stockyards. Let's lift them up in prayer. Virgie Dixon, his daughter, Connie, she's needing prayer. She has a lot of health problems and not doing well, so let's lift her up. And then Diesel Phillips from right up here in Walnut Grove just graduated high school and was starting with an apprenticeship with a job. Well, he got into a motorcycle wreck, and so we need to lift him up in prayer. He's injured pretty bad, and so we need to continue to pray for him. Let's see, Brittany Maverick. Has been in the hospital since May 15th, and so Brittany is now able to walk. Praise the Lord for that, and we need to continue to lift her up in prayer, and was moved to Chicago for rehab this week, and so continue to pray. All right. See, David Slagle, he needs prayers for his daughter, who is having cancer surgery in August, so keep them on your prayer list. Jude Zamek is having back surgery. Pat Williams is in final stages of ALS. And so lift him up in prayer. And let's see, Scott Gardner. He also had a heart attack, is in ICU, and he's needing prayers. Lift him up and keep praying for him. And we've got two prayer requests here for Diesel. So just, again, remember him in prayer. And then we need to lift up Shay, Shay Boyd. Her ANC was at 480, that's right, and it needs to be at 750. And so please pray for her. She's in Kansas City, right? Okay. All right. So let's lift her up in prayer and be praying for them all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you and say thank you for your goodness. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you that you provide our needs. And I thank you that you're the healer. And so each one of these prayer requests, as we lift them up to you, Lord, we ask that you would send healing touch, that you would send comfort and peace to everyone, to the families, that you would provide, that you would give the doctors wisdom, and that you would give the nurses wisdom, and Lord, that you would send a speedy recovery. And we thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Scotty, come bake that cake.
Bake that cake. Bake that cake. I'm going to try. I'm going to try to bake that cake. But now, you kind of put me under pressure. Because what if I don't get to baking the cake? Bake that cake. Bake that cake. Come on. Come on. Oh, gosh. Security, would you send security? They're harassing me already. Oh, my goodness. My goodness, what a crowd. Look at you. Don't you all know this is Thursday night? You're not supposed to be in church on a Thursday night. Look at you. I don't know if you can pan that camera around here and let the folks at home see this, but this is a great crowd tonight. And we want to welcome our people who are watching from wherever you are and around the world. We're glad you're a part of us tonight. Tonight I'm in the book of Philippians. I had a friend when I was in college. He was from the Philippines, and he was a preacher. And he would always say, he's going to preach tonight on the letter, Paul's letter to the Philippines. It's kind of an inside joke. You know. I think he knew better, but he never said better, did he? We're looking at the attitude of Jesus tonight. This is our second session in the series of doing a deep dive into the nature and person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, I started out by talking about how that we spend so much time in our, if we're not careful, we don't, but I am guilty of spending too much time looking into the negative, the devils and the demons and the other things, angels, even though that's good. But we need to look at Jesus. And it dawned on me not too long ago, let's just focus on him on these Thursday nights while I'm doing this series. And so that's what we're doing. We have no interest in lesser things tonight, but to look fully into his wonderful face, and like that old song says, and get a glimpse of his glory. I want to see Jesus, don't you? I want to see him. I want to know him. I want to know everything I can about him and love him with all I have and all I ever can be. Well, tonight we're going to look through the prism of attitude. We're trying to figure out who he is, what he's like. Last week we did the John 1, where he is in the beginning was the Word or the Logos. But tonight we're going to look at him at his attitude. What was the attitude of Jesus that set him apart? What if God came to earth, what would his attitude be? And so that's where we're digging tonight. We're going to look at that. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippines in around 60 to 62 A.D. That'll give you an idea of when it was written. Jesus died, of course, in around 30 A.D. So this is like 30 years. It's probably near 30 years after Pentecost, the death of Stephen. Those early events happened there. But I'll give you sort of an idea where this fits. About 25 years as the church is going into the future. So it's moving. Things are happening. Now, the church in Philippi was the first Christian congregation that Paul planted in Europe. It was the first one. Acts chapter 16, we'll talk about that more. Philippi was a proud Roman colony populated by retired soldiers and shaped by Roman law and culture. And so it was a place very Roman, and it was European sort of. As I look out at the crowd tonight, we're all European. That's our ancestry. We're Scotch, Irish, German, French, Middle European people, and that's who our ancestors were. And this is the letter to us, really. The believers there were dear to Paul. He loved them. They supported him financially. They helped support his missionary journeys, and the letter is warm. It's joyful. The Philippians is so joyful. It's a thank you note for helping take care of him. The central theme of the book of Philippians, I'm not going to spend much time here. We're going to look at Jesus. But the central theme is the joy in Christ. And there's joy in Jesus tonight in this room. I mean, I could feel it when the musicians were playing and things were going. I just felt the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know that song? All right. I should have just gone on. If I'd have known another word, I would have. Those of us who know the Lord want more than anything else to be like him. We want to model that life of Christ today. To know him is to love him. And so tonight we're going to look deeply into what has been said about him in the book of Philippians. We want to adopt that attitude. I want the attitude of Christ. I want my attitude to be his attitude. How many of you here tonight need an attitude adjustment? Nice of you to be honest, wasn't it? How many of you are sitting by somebody that needs an attitude adjustment? No. Let's don't go there. Let's don't go there. Sorry, take that back. You're not displaying the attitude of Christ. Now, come on, let's go. God's children ought to duplicate his attitude. That's true. So what does my life look like with Jesus' attitudes in play? What's my life look like when I have adopted the attitude of Christ? When I live with his attitude, what do I look like? What does that do? So if you're ready, let's pick up in Philippians. We are in chapter 2 of Philippians, not to be confused with 1, chapter 2. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Guys, Jesus came to build a team. He didn't come to set a lot of solo people at work. He came to pull a church together. He built a team. He's the head, and we're the body. He is the head. We follow him, and we each have a role in the body. Everyone in this room tonight has something that God has invested in your life. You do something better than anyone else. You're the only one that can do what God has invested in you to do. We have a role in the kingdom of God, and there's no limit to what can be accomplished in a church when nobody cares who gets the credit. Now think about that a minute. If we all get together and we don't care who gets the patted on the back, we can all get in together and throw our weight together and get something done. Every church has what it needs to grow. Please listen to this. Every church, Ron, every church, Ty, every church, preachers out here, every church has everything it needs to grow. All right? You don't have to invest in this or not. It's got what it needs because each of us has a role in the body of Christ, and when we play our role, the church has everything it needs. Every church has what it needs to grow. Growth is written into the code or the DNA of the church. Churches are supposed to grow. Every church is supposed to grow. No situation anywhere are they ever to stagnate, just get one or two or three and no more. Just me and thee, and I'm not sure about thee, you know. They're supposed to grow. The DNA of a church is growth. Now, this is a Scottyism. It's not biblical. Well, I don't know. It may be. A pastor does not make a church grow. Doesn't have to have a pastor to grow. It has to have to, you know, it'll have a pastor. But a pastor can keep a church from growing. Now listen to me. A pastor can get in the way of it. Remember, the DNA of a church is to grow. And you leave it alone, everybody doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that church will grow. Unless egos or something gets in the way. So we need to get out of the way as pastors and church leaders and let God do what he's going to do. And I think one of the great things about this church here is you have brought your gifts and you have invested them in this area, in this body, in this work. unselfishly, not wanting to be patted on the back. You didn't care who got the credit, and you just got in and worked, and look what God's done. Now, in the Greek language, am I baking it? Is that good? Carry on, brother. I just throw money. Don't worry about it. Now, when you're studying the book, when the Bible, and you read the Greek language, the Greek language has a way of asking a question expecting a positive answer. So it'll ask you a question, but it's not really looking for an answer. It's expecting a positive. So when we read this, when Paul says, is there any encouragement from Christ? The answer is, yeah. Any comfort from his love? Yeah, there's comfort in his love. Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? In other words, the question is being asked, but it's not really looking for an answer because it's just saying, yes, there is. This is all that's going to happen when we come to Christ. This is expected. Now, the English language tries to do it, but we don't do as good a job in English as they do in Greek. Isn't it a wonderful day? And, you know, we expect, yeah, it's a wonderful day, unless you get an old grouch like me and you say, leave me alone. So Paul asks, is there any advantage to belonging to Christ? And the answer is, well, yes, there is. Yes, thank you, there is. Is there any comfort in his love? Is there constant fellowship? We never feel alone when we walk in the Spirit of God. We never feel alone. I know this world's a lonely place. And some of you are struggling with life and with the loss of loved ones. But I want you to know you're never alone with Jesus. We're able to keep tender and compassionate heart toward all people. Now, let's get to the question and we've been coming here tonight to look at. So if walking with Jesus makes you feel better, how does it work? Well, here's the first one I want you to look at, verse 2. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Now, here's my outline. See, when Christ is at work, what does that look like in your life? Well, you look like somebody that can work with others. You look like somebody that can team build, can form consensus, and can work together. You don't have to be a negative Nelly. Any negative Nelly? No, don't raise your hand. A man walked into a board meeting at a church. He was late, and he walked in, and he looked around, and he was about to vote on something. They were voting, actually. He said, I don't know what we're voting on, but I'm against it. Have you ever met people like that? They don't care what we're voting on. They don't like it. So Paul says, in essence, so if you are a Spirit-led team player, you can find agreement and support it wholeheartedly. You can find agreement with other Christians. You don't have to agree with everything they say. You don't have, in other words, you can have your disagreements, but we get together and wholeheartedly support a consensus opinion and a direction and a goal and a mission. See, the Christian life is not a your way or the highway sort of life. Now, come on. Bake that cake, brother. See, some people are that way. You don't play it the way I want to play. I'll take my ball and we'll go home. Okay? That's not how you play it in Christ. We support wholeheartedly. Love one another. Let me tell you about love. I don't like the word love. I've told you that many times. I don't like the word love. It's too small a word. It's too weak a word. It don't mean anything. I love my dog and I love my wife. Is that the same? I love peanut butter and I love my truck. Is that the same thing? You know, no, it isn't. So here's what I'm going to say. We're to love with a military-grade love. I'm telling you what, guys, the love Jesus talks about in the Bible is tough stuff. It'll go to war. You can't buy better stuff than military grade. That's the ultimate grade of quality. And the love we're talking about here, it'll go to war. It'll survive. It'll fight. It won't quit. It won't run. If you want to look and see what love does on a military grade level, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That'll tell you all about it. Love one another with that kind of love. But real love is powerful. But real love costs dearly. It is expensive. Bake that cake, brother. See, real love's expensive. You say, what do you mean? It's going to cost you a lot when you love somebody with military-grade love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. You're going to have to go the second mile. You're going to have to. Okay, you get it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, read that chapter. Work together with a team and seek to have one mind. Think of a bluegrass band or that's up here. Now, look, you know, what do we got? We got fiddles and we got banjos and the fiddle player, he wants it to go faster and the banjo guy wants it to go slower. And you know, banjos, they never get them tuned. Did you know that? They're always tuning them. I don't know why they don't just buy one tuned. The mandolin player, he wants to add a little flair here. Miles does. You know. So each have their own opinion about how this all works together. You know, Curtis Hill want one thing. But what happens when they all get together and they give up their opinions and their preferences and they all throw in together, they make fantastic music. Like we get to hear it at Sauk River Calvary. It's more beautiful than any single part alone. Now, in the church or in your family or in your job or even among coworkers, the agreement will, disagreements will come. You're going to disagree once in a while. Don't think that's a big thing. Church people are going to disagree with each other. But if we keep our eyes on Christ, the true conductor of the whole orchestra, and we follow him and make music he wants, man, I'm telling you what, guys, we're going to have the attitude of Christ. Now, that attitude also will, you'll look like somebody who accepts their role. If you got the attitude of Christ, you'll look like someone who accepts the role that they've been given. Look at verse 3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Oh, are you reading this stuff? Are you listening? Think of others better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Now think with me just a moment. Could Jesus have come to earth and let's just put it like this. What if he'd have come to earth and parked in orbit and just let us all see him? Just circled in orbit. Said, look at me. Well, it'd have been magnificent, wouldn't it? But he didn't do that. He could have. But he came here as one of us. He revealed his godness to us. Last week we talked about how Jesus was God. And so he revealed that to us tonight. And even then they didn't all get it. But many times he cautioned people, don't tell anybody. Don't go and don't tell them. Why did he not? Because he didn't want to broadcast and popularize himself and his godness. He didn't want to draw people to him because of the magic act or the wow factor. He humbled himself. He knew his destiny was the cross. He knew why he came. He knew where he was going. He wanted to win the world by laying his life down, not drawing people to him through magnetism and popularity. My daddy taught us boys. He said, boys, put your hand in a bucket of water and then take it out. He said, can you see any impression left by your hand? He said, and that's what it'll be in your life. The church will get along without you. Everybody, you're going to succeed, and we'll succeed only, and you'll do a lot better job when you realize you are not indispensable. You are replaceable. And pastors, this job is temporary. I've been here 15, 16 years. It's still a temporary job. I mean, it's just as, you know, it's not a lifetime job. We succeed only when we do our job, our part, and the world will get along just fine without us. We have to remember who we are and humble ourselves. So hold your horses, dude. What Jesus is doing, you'll get along. He'll, as I said, without you, just fine. But here he is now. But we have been invited to join in what Jesus is doing. He can do it without us. But we've been invited to participate. He said, come, play with me, create with me, join me in my joy. Come with me and celebrate life with me. Come and join me. He asked us to come and share. Thank you, Jesus. He never pushes anybody unwarrantingly. He beckons, come, follow me. We're free moral agents. Rules and gifts of assignments are made way above our pay grade. We don't get to decide what. We just do what he put in us. And when you find your place in the work, jump in with all you've got. And here's the caution. But stay humble when you succeed. I said a lot then. I need to bake that cake thing again. Stay humble when you succeed. Because it's not you, it's Christ in you. Gifted you with this, gave you that opportunity. And if you are successful, which you will be if you follow Christ, you invest your gift in your ministry, your mission, whatever, you will be. Now, don't build on personal preferences. Build for the betterment of others. Joy and for blessing. Abraham Lincoln, when he was in office, he visited a wounded soldiers in a hospital. And we, here in southwest Missouri, near to Wilson Creek Battlefield, we have in our historical memory a great battle of the Civil War that happened right here. And this is, Lincoln wasn't here. He didn't come here, but in another battlefield hospital he visited one time as president of the United States, arguably one of the most powerful men in the world at that time. But he sat beside the soldier, sat by the soldier's bed who'd been injured, sat there and simply wrote down the words that soldier said. He wanted a letter sent to his mama or his girlfriend. Abraham Lincoln just sat there and as a secretary wrote out that boy's letter. The most powerful man on the planet. Anybody could have done that, any nurse or any secretary. But Abraham Lincoln did not think of himself more highly than he should have. And he got a blessing, and we're getting a blessing today just thinking about it. How much greater is it that Jesus laid aside the splendor of heaven? As I said, he could have dazzled the world with divine displays, but instead he humbled himself and died on a cross, washed feet, touched lepers, ate with outcasts, and then ultimately died for sinners. Here's what you need to know. When you come to Jesus, you have to abdicate. What is that word? You got to get off the throne. Yeah, you got to get off your own throne. There can only be one king on your throne of your life. There can only be one. There's not room for two. And the greatest idol that every one of us have in this world is ourselves. And we worship us. But we cannot serve two gods. You have to have only one. So if you want to serve the Lord, you have to get off the throne. You can't be your own king or your own God. You have to let him do that. Verse 5, so you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. You know what the farthest distance someone has ever traveled? Was it that Voyager? We've got this spacecraft we sent out in the 70s, and now it's gone out of our solar system, and it's traveled farther than any man-made thing has ever traveled. This, what I'm going to tell you, was the farthest distance that has ever been traveled. God became a man. That is the farthest anything has ever traveled in our universe. God became a man. I want you to just think about that a minute. Here is the supreme commander of everything. Everything that was made, he made it. And everything, every song that has ever been sung, mathematical formula ever formulated, everything that's ever been done or thought of, it came from his mind and his heart. And he was adored by thousands of millions of angels, myriads of angels. And he's adored by everything, clothed in majesty. And he began to humble himself, and he got a little smaller. And he crunched down just a little bit more. And he crunched down just a little bit more. And he humbled himself, and he got smaller, and he got smaller, and he humbled himself. The all great one that's everything, he got smaller and smaller. And he looked around one day in the dark in the womb of a young Hebrew girl. And God became a man. Farthest distance anything has ever traveled, ever, in any universe, any way you describe that. So Jesus bridged the divine, that great divide for sinners to atone. He came to buy you back. He didn't play the God card. He could have wowed us into following him. He could have called 10,000 angels to get him off the cross. He could have played the role of anything he wanted, but he came as sacrifice, as servant and savior. Amen. For us. Now, on the way to the cross, as he was going there, he said, "Father, if there's any other way to do this, let's do it. But nevertheless, thy will be done." He came to do it for us. So Jesus knew which way was up. So I guess I'm going to ask in closing tonight, do you know which way is up? You know, most people don't. Most Christians don't know either. I'm going to tell you which way is up. Here we go. The last part of verse 7. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. He died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names. Jesus knew that to go up, you had to go down. To get done what he wanted to do, which was to elevate mankind, he had to go down. Same thing's true with you. You want to amount to something in the kingdom of God? Go down. Humble yourself. Be a sacrifice. Be a servant. Same thing. We do the same thing Jesus did. In the military history, the Medal of Honor is not given to the strongest soldier or to the one who gave the best speeches. It's usually awarded to someone who gave themselves away, who died for others on the battlefield. The soldier who jumped on a hand grenade and took the explosion into his own body and died to save his unit that's around him. That's who gets these medals of honor. It might look like weakness or foolishness, but afterward, the nation recognizes that sacrifice and says that is the highest form of honor and love for your fellow man. It's an act of humility and death, but it leads to exaltation. That is what Jesus did in Christ, God did in Christ on the cross. Now here's what we got to do. Let's close it. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee's going to bow. You say, you mean every knee? What about the devil and demons? Every knee's going to bow. I promise you, every knee's going to bow. your knee's going to bow. He said, not me, preacher. I'm too prideful. I've got my own thing. Every knee will bow. Maybe not in this life, but every knee will bow. I got an idea. Bow now. Bow now while it will change everything about your life and your eternity. You're going to bow. Bow now. Give your life to Jesus. Now. Don't wait for them. Acknowledge he is the Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord, tonight, these words are so dear to us and so rich in our memory that we almost can't bear to say them because they're so precious. We love you, Jesus, and forgive us for our hubris, our lack of humility, for thinking we can do this stuff without you or don't need you. Lord Jesus, we just want to go down by loving and serving and not exalt ourselves. Because we know, Lord, that little is much when you're in it. We're not to labor for wealth or fame. There's a crown and we can win it if we go in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. And that's my prayer. In Jesus I pray. Amen.
If you're able, please stand up. Sing just as I am. Saturday, and we love you, Lord. We thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.